Another year has come and gone. Are you wondering what the future holds? Are you struggling with the decision about love, money, your career, your family? StarPsychics.com, that stars with a Z, has the answers you desire. StarPsychics.com is the best and brightest advisor site on the internet, staffed by top-rated, professional, fully tested, and certified advisors. This is the real deal. At StarPsychics.com, you create your own personal account, and you pick your advisor by reading their extensive bios. Then you decide on a budget that you are comfortable with. Your pathway to a clearer and brighter future is just a few clicks away. No gimmicks, no bait and switch. StarPsychics.com has daily blogs and lots of links to help you develop your own intuition. Log on now. That's StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. And here's the best part. They're available 24/7. StarPsychics.com. Remember, stars with a Z. You must be 18 years or older. Your future awaits.
Hi, this is Natalie, also known as Stars Cats, and I have my guest on the air, and I'm going to bring him in shortly. But first, I want to tell everybody, I've been looking at the news and everything, and I'm not going to preach to you, but please stay safe out there. Don't be ridiculous. I mean, things are coming back now around. I just want everybody to be well and healthy and be able to function and make money and smile and laugh, because it really is a beautiful world. So that's my little talk, my little spiel on what's going on. But anyways, I want to tell everybody about the magazine, mysticlivingtoday.com. Oh, in about 4 days, I'll be sending out all my reminders to submit their, review, any reviews, poetry, excerpts, whatever. And it doesn't have to be metaphysical. It doesn't have to be spiritual. All you have to do is have some nice information that you want spread to the world, and I'll be happy to do it for you, and I need an image along with it. So if you will just send it to stars with a Z, cast, at mysticlivingtoday.com, you'll be good to go, and I'll send you the link when it's up, and it doesn't go live until the first of the month always. So there's plenty of time, actually. And, of course, my stars with a Z, psychics.com. That site will be 10 years old in September. I'm really proud of it. My love is the magazine, because I'm in total charge of that one. I mean, I do it all. Somebody said to me last week in email, oh, let your team know about this. I said, what team? I said, you're talking to the team. It's me. But anyways, so I take a lot of pride in that. But with Stars, the first-time client gets 3 minutes free, and then you get another special after that. We have membership rates in there that you can get after your first regular rate. Like if you pay for, 20 minutes, 10 minutes, or whatever, you'll get a notification that there is a membership rate that will lower that rate for you. Other than that, everything is good. I had my house power washed today, and the guys even did my front door. I mean, I was amazed. But, all you got to do is be kind and show, smile and thumbs up and, don't forget to do this. Well, that's what I did, and they did an awesome job. Here in South Carolina, you have to have your homes power washed if you have vinyl, because it gets mold. I'm in the land. I'm about 10, 15 minutes from the ocean, and it just comes flying in, and I can go away sometimes 2 years, but I really don't. I like it. It smells so nice and fresh, and it looks fresh. So without further ado, since I've talked everybody's ear off already, I'm going to bring in my guest. His name is Mike Anthony, and he did this book that everybody is going to be interested in. He did another one, but this one, it's called Love, Dad, How My Father Died, Then Told Me He Didn't. What might it be like to be made certain that death is truly not the end? And it came out, it came out in January. So, Mike, welcome. How are you today?
I'm well, Natalie. Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Oh, and it's a pleasure to have you on. I mean, doesn't he sound so sweet, everybody? You do. I told him this was going to be an easy talk. So we'll get into both books. But first of all, I mean, I want to know, how did you get started on your journey, no matter what it was? I mean, did you do some acting? I know you were a bartender. I know you did all of that, but you've had your hands in quite a few things. So give the audience, the take on Oh, I started. You know, I mean, you're really still young, so you must have had some good ideas in your head about what you wanted to do, huh?
Well, I really didn't have a whole lot of concrete ideas, and I think that that's why my journey has been so sort of varied and why it's gone in all of these different directions. What I can say is that from the time that I was really little, I was just fascinated with life in general. I remember, for instance, I think I tell the story in the book, when I was a kid, seeing like an airplane up in the sky and being amazed by that. And then my dad would take my sister and I to a local airport and seeing these enormous things sitting on the runway, who knows how many tons heavy, then lift off into the sky. Completely captured my imagination. You know, how could that be possible that these heavy things could be in the sky? How could, you know, why if I throw a rock into the ocean, it sinks, but these enormous boats are floating on top of it? All of these questions really grabbed my imagination. And because of that, I became interested in science early on because that is a way that some of these questions get answers. So I initially, you know, early on in high school, even before that, I thought I was going to be a science teacher. So even I went to undergrad initially, that's what I was going to undergrad for, to be a high school science teacher. Meanwhile, though, I'd also had this other part of my brain that was in love with the arts and just what it's like, what being a human being is all about interpersonally, you know. So I had the two sides of my brain happening at the same time, one that was interested in the mechanics of how physics works and everything and why planes stay in the sky, and then I'm also very much interested in just what it means to be a human being. So I was doing acting basically from high school on, sort of in the background, and then by the end of my undergraduate career, I had that ended up being my major. I ended up being an actor, so then I went to grad school for that and became a professional actor, which I still, you know, I still do acting from time to time, and that led me to moving to New York City, where I got a day job, a quote unquote day job, working at a Broadway theater as a bartender, which was a job that I thought I'd only have for a few months, and then I blinked. And 15 years later, I was still behind that, still behind that bar. And I still to this day have that job working. I now work for Hamilton on Broadway. So that's been sort of my life in a nutshell. And then in 2011, while I was leading this very happy-go-lucky existence as this bartender in New York City, living out my dream, you know, doing some acting and whatnot, my dad very suddenly died, completely from our perspective, out of nowhere. He was only 60 years old, and he was a very young 60. You know, we thought that he had the best chance of anyone in our immediate family to make it to 100 years old. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm listening, and I can really understand that, because there are people, like I said, I'm older, and my son says, "Oh, Mom, you're going to live to 100. Well, I'm walking and talking, and I'm doing what I love, and yeah, it's all good, but we know, Mike, at any moment in time, things can change.
Yes.
So I was nodding my head, but go ahead. I love their story. I love it.
Yeah. So, you know, even, you know, death had been something that had been on my mind, again, since the time that I was a little kid. I was so lucky to be born into a very loving family. And I know that this is not the case for everyone. I was a very lucky birth. And because I loved my mom and my dad so much, and even my sister who annoyed the heck out of me, I even loved her so much. The idea that at some, you know, I remember having our goldfish when our first goldfish died and went to the heaven at the bottom of the toilets, you know, with a little ceremony that we had. The idea that things die, that this life is going to, this life that I love so much is going to come to an end at some point. Even as a young kid, it really bothered me. Especially my the idea of losing my parents at some point. I used to have nightmares about that. So it had been on my mind, I guess, from a very young age. And as I said, I grew up loving science. And when I got to high school and then college, you know, I realized that the question of life after death, as far as mainstream science is concerned, is answered, right? According to mainstream science, the end of our heart beating is the end of our existence entirely. Mainstream science says that consciousness is something created by the brain, right? It's just an epiphenomenon of the chemical reactions happening in the brain. And when the brain stops getting oxygen, that's the end of the story. So that thought that my parents could someday be gone and truly be gone, as though they were erased from the universe forever.
That's exactly right. I know, it's horrible.
Yes, horrible thought. And I never fully believed it. So even though I knew what science was telling me in my science classes, I always had this sense that there's much going on in the universe that we do not understand, and that perhaps our scientific instruments will never be sensitive enough to grasp. So I simultaneously had those two perspectives in my mind. But when my father did die, again, completely out of the blue, it seemed.
I mean, can you tell me what happened? I don't want you to get upset, but.
No, it's totally fine. No, I'm not upset anymore, because now I have 100% complete satisfaction that my dad is completely, absolutely still with me. But yes, what happened was some major cardiac event is what we assume. We never did an autopsy, but my dad and I were watching a football game together on television, having a spirited political debate, which we did all the time. And then we hugged each other, and I said, I love you. And he said, I love you. And he walked away, got into his car, and drove home. And his house was only 5 minutes away from where we had been that night. And then he walked into his house and promptly died. He still had his keys in his hands. So we know that it was just something very fast. We're assuming some sort of major cardiac event.
Yeah. Well, you know, I believe, like you, that there is more to us. You know, my son had to have some kind of a test yesterday. He's fine. But, I mean, for some reason, maybe it's my age and I'm very close to him, and I have a granddaughter who's 17. I pace the floor. I talk to God all day. I said, you know...
Mm-hmm.
You know, listen to me. I said, you do. I said, I know it because I believe. I said, but you take me, don't take him. He's such a good man. I mean, I'm a great lady, too. I mean, I do a lot of things, you know. But I do. I give and give and give. And sometimes I talk and I'll say, you know what? When is it going to be my turn here? What's the deal here? But anyways, you know. And I could not have my dinner. I could not do anything until I knew he was okay. And finally, he called from the car. He said, I'm okay. Nothing's wrong. Oh, my goodness.
Right.
Mike,
right.
It was so wonderful, because I would be so lost without him, my granddaughter, my daughter-in-law, but I'm especially close to him. And I don't have my husband anymore. So, you know, you kind of lean on your only child, and that's the way it is. So I know the fear. And the fear that you have and had when you were young. But I also want to tell you something. My dad took me to Detroit City Airport to watch the planes take off every Saturday.
Oh, wow.
Our lives are parallel. They're parallel.
That's right. They
really are, you and I.
That's right.
I'm listening and I'm smiling. Yes, because I have this love for planes. I always feel one day I'm going to fly a plane. I don't know why. And I know I could do it. My son said to me, Mom said, he said, Mom, do you think you could do this? I said, you be my co-pilot. I'll fly the thing. I don't care how big it is. I'll do it. Just give me the right instructions, because I ask the right questions. I can do a lot of things. I know I can do it. I'll land it with how many people are on there. I'll save them all, because that's part of me. See? So, okay, but there's other things that you said that I'll bring up that, my goodness, I'm sitting here thinking, gosh, you went to the airport? I did too. Mike, my friends would say to me, you don't want to stay home and play with dolls? And I looked at my one girlfriend and I said, they're not real. But I wanted to be with my dad. My dad was a very special man. And he could fix anything. No training, didn't even finish grade school. But, you know, those are stories that you hear. And he was just a hard worker, and I just wanted to be with him, you know? So anyway,
yeah.
Okay.
Sounds like
our
dads were very similar. We had similar dads. Yeah.
I wanted to be with him. My mother, she was off in her own world. She was the oldest of 10. All she wanted to do was make money and take care of herself. I mean, I was there, but I really wasn't there. I mean, I didn't have an awesome childhood. I had angelic presence. That's how I got to be where I am. But I don't, that's okay. You know, we all have our thing in life when we come around. We got to do certain things. And anyways, so you wrote one book called Life at Hamilton. And I love this. Sometimes you throw away your shot only to find your story. Instead of becoming an actor, life threw him a bar. I love that.
Right.
That is so apropos. I mean, listen to that. That is just perfect. So now, where did that, I mean, you did back-to-back books. Where did that one come from? I want to talk about your other one, of course, in depth, but where did this one come from?
Sure. So first of all, I'm so glad to hear that your son is well. I'll continue to send him healing, loving thoughts. I'm so glad to hear that. Because the other thing, just to quickly say, is that no matter how sure we might be that life goes on after death, and as I said, I am now completely sure about that, the physical loss is still traumatic no matter what. It's still the hardest part of being a human being. So I'll just say that. Life at Hamilton, the way that started is during the time that I've been working on Broadway as a bartender, I had sort of been keeping a public journal on Facebook because I was having these, you know, fascinating interactions all the time. And I would often write out the story about what happened that day and post it on Facebook for my family and my friends to read. Never in a million years imagining if they would go anywhere beyond my family and my friends. However, back at that time, I was not paying attention to Facebook privacy settings, and I had it set to public, meaning that anyone could share anything that I wrote. And so what started to happen is that my family shared some of these stories, and then they quickly went out beyond the circle of my family and my friends, and pretty soon they were some of them went sort of viral. So I was getting thousands of notifications from complete strangers.
Awesome.
Who were now.
I'm so proud of you.
Oh, thank you so much. And it was really thanks to them that the book happened. People within something of a virtual community grew up around the stories that I was writing, and some people within that community suggested that I collect the stories into a book. And so that's where one of the people who were following the stories happened to be a New York Times bestselling author. And she said, she contacted me and said, listen, I'd like to take these stories to my agent and talk to him about publishing these in book form. So really, she was an angel that dropped into my life. Yes, that's how it happened. It was all thanks to a woman named Stephanie Good, who's a fantastic writer. It was all thanks to her and other angels in my life, like my mom, that made the book happen.
Now, is your mother still with us?
She is, yes. She
okay,
is.
Awesome. Awesome, because I know how proud she is. I would be proud of you, too. I mean, I can hear it in your voice that you care so much. You know, and there hasn't been anybody on my show that I would, you know, they'd be talking, I'd say, oh, my God, what an ego. I can't wait to get rid of this guy. No, I've been blessed with that. And they all come to me. Like, Dee asked me about you. Only because we're friends, we've talked on the phone, she submits articles to me, and she said, I think you'd be a good fit. I said, get him. I don't care who it is. I'll talk to the president. Doesn't matter to me. Well, you know I can. You can hear me talking. I mean, I'm nonstop. But I've been so blessed with people like yourself because, I mean, I have goosebumps with you. You have great things coming your way. You really do. But now let's get into this last book and how you realize that your dad is still with you? I mean, take us through some of that. I mean, most of the people that listen to the show, even after it's recorded, and then and when it's posted on Facebook and everything, they will resonate with it, because right now, and it has been going on probably for quite a few years, people are realizing that there is something else out there. You know, I always end my show with believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. On my Instagram, anything that I post, I put that, because that's how I believe. You might not be able to see it, but know that they are there. Okay? So, okay.
Yes.
Now, so you did this one book, and then how did this other second beautiful book come? Not that the other one wasn't, but this one is especially awesome.
Yeah, so after my dad died, almost immediately after, within days, things started to happen that I could not explain, that the scientific part of my brain could simply not explain, you know, things that we would call signs, for instance, like having a song come on the radio at this extremely poignant moment, this very particular song, and of course I tell the whole story in detail in the book, but seeing butterflies at moments that felt impossible, things of that nature started to happen right away. But what really kicked off what became a 10-year journey, really, was a medium, a woman who claims the ability to communicate with people who are dead right now. So again, according to science, there's no such thing as mediumship. Anyone who's claiming the ability to be a medium is lying about that. That's the scientific point of view. I was familiar with mediumship from shows like John Edward, Crossing Over, was big when I was in high school, and the Long Island Medium, you know, those television shows. And I found them fascinating. But again, I was thinking, well, if there's anything really to this, surely some scientists would have tested it and gotten some evidence, and I would have learned about it in a science class. You know, one of my professors would have told us about it. And since
no
one did,
you would have seen. Yes, absolutely.
Right. That's what I was thinking. So there can't be a whole lot to it, as interesting as it seems. Now, in our case, which was atypical, because usually someone seeks out a medium, right? You're dealing with grief, and you might seek out a medium to try to connect with your loved ones. In our case, a complete stranger, a woman that we had never met and that my dad had never met, not while he was in a body anyway, contacted our family to say, listen, I know this sounds nuts. Your father has been tapping me on the shoulder for the last few days, desperate to get a message to you guys that he's okay. So again, this woman was a complete stranger. She happened to be a friend of my second cousin's husband, as it turned out.
So
it was as though my dad died, came out of his body, took a look around, and just found the closest medium he could see and started tapping her on the shoulder, begging her, really, to get this message to his family. So a phone call came into my mom's house, saying that my dad was trying to contact us. So that was how it started. Now, the day after had happened, that this medium had called our house, my sister was driving to work the next morning, and on the radio there happened to be a segment with someone calling herself a professional evidential medium. And she was giving readings to people, you know, over on the air, people who called into the radio station. And my sister thought, my gosh, the timing of this is really astounding. We just had this stranger contact us about this, and now I'm hearing, just happened to catch this segment on the radio. So my sister contacted that woman. She happened to live in Connecticut, which is where we live, and set up a reading. So she was going to come to our house to do a reading. And that was the first chance that I had to do a little personal experiment to try to use the scientific method in some way, if I could.
Yes,
to see if
I got to see if she's
real.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I would do it. And I totally believe, and that's what I have on my site. But I would, and I'm not a skeptic, but I would sit there, wouldn't be the devil's advocate, I would just sit there, really, and I'm thinking to myself, what can I ask this person that nobody, I mean nobody knows about?
Right,
this, what I'm
right.
Gonna ask. Is that
and
what you
and
did?
It's hard. That's exactly what I did, because as you said, it's hard to be a medium these days because so much information is available out there on
Correct.
The internet, right?
Yes,
so I
absolutely.
Wanted to hear something. I wanted to hear something that was not could not be on Facebook, was not published in an obituary. So the way that I did my little my first little experiment was I talked to my dad and asked him to deliver me a very specific message, a code word, basically. So I was in my dad's house completely alone. It was just me and my dead father. And I said, okay, Dad, this woman is coming over to Mom's house a little later today. I need you to deliver me a very specific message. Otherwise, I'm not going to believe anything else she says. And as I was saying that, I was suddenly flooded with this memory that when my sister and I were little, we would beg my father to play with our hair at night to help us fall asleep. And the poor guy would have to do this for hours. You know, we would say, 5 more minutes, Dad, 5 more minutes. And until his hand was cramping up, he would play with our hair to help us fall asleep. So I hadn't thought of that in years. And for whatever reason, I was flooded with that memory. So I said, okay, Dad, this is it then. That's the code word. I need
That's
this
right.
woman to – I need her to mention my hair. If she doesn't mention my hair, I don't care how specific everything else is, I'm not going
right.
to be able to believe it's real.
Correct.
So
Good
an
job.
Hour or that was the experiment. Now, I never in a million years expected it to work, you know, because I figured, if it's that easy, again, it feels like science should have been able to get their own evidence. So I did not expect this to happen, but, you know, I might as well try. So then, an hour later, she comes to the house and does the reading. There were 7 of us there in my mom's living room, and within 10 minutes, everyone was crying because everything this woman was saying was shockingly accurate. And some of it was highly personal and private. She was saying things that I could not fathom that she could know. So I completely forgot about my little experiment because, again, 10 minutes in, the skeptical part of my brain was completely reeling, trying to figure out what was going on.
Because you were listening to everything and you're thinking, oh, wait a minute, this is real.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I'm thinking, you know, again, if science is right, she has to be tricking me somehow. How in the world is she tricking me? This is unbelievable what she's doing right now. So then at the end, we were getting ready to leave, and we were all, by that point, completely soaked in tears. That's how amazing it was. And we were telling her, this is the most amazing night. This is the most amazing thing that's ever happened to us. Now, if you are a charlatan, right, if you are a con artist, you know to quit when you're ahead. You look at these sobbing people, and you know they're going to go tell everybody they know about this, and you're going to get a ton of work out of it, right? You don't keep pressing the issue, the mission accomplished. But instead of doing that, while we were making small talk, the reading was basically over at this point, and we were wrapping up, and she's getting ready to leave. She was in the middle of a sentence to someone else in the room, and she stopped. And again, there were 7 of us there. She stopped mid-sentence and looked right at me and only me and said, your dad wants to talk about your hair, while she was making this motion with her hand, like playing with hair. And when she said that, it took my breath away. It really took my breath away. I was gasping.
She
and
sounds
my mom,
like the real deal. Yes, absolutely.
That was real.
I want her name.
I could not figure that out.
Yeah.
Yes, her name is Angelina Diana. And, of course, her name is in the book and everything, and all of this information is in there as well. So that moment sent my life in a new direction that I never expected. Because once she said that, it certainly seemed to me that science was wrong. It seemed to me that there was evidence that something is going on that we cannot yet explain, scientifically speaking. So a year after that, I just could not let it go. And I called that woman. I contacted her again, and she didn't remember me at that point, which is not surprising given how many readings she does. But I said, listen, you did a reading for my family. It was life-changing. I, however, have this skeptical part of my brain that will not let me have this experience. I would like to test you further on camera, if you would allow this. I would like to make a documentary where I sit you down, hit record on the camera, and then walk in complete strangers and see if you can get the sort of information that you got for me when I know there's no way that you could have cheated. And to my surprise, she immediately said, sure, I'll do that. And not only that, by the way, she also signed a release form giving me ownership of the footage before we shot a single frame. And that has always stuck with me, because that meant to me that this woman has tremendous confidence in her own ability.
Exactly.
And so that's what we did. I've now filmed her doing 20 readings, and often I don't even tell any of the crew who the sitter is going to be that day. Often I'm the only person on set who knows the person that's about to walk through the door. And even under those conditions, I have watched Angelina come up with information. There's no way she should be able to know, given what science believes is true. And yet she knows it. And I watched her change 20 people's lives. So that was how this journey into investigating evidence for life after death began.
She is on the internet. I looked her up. I feel so good for you, because it started you on this other journey, and you know, I don't know if you know or not, but everything to me is divine order. Everything everywhere is divine order. It's all done for a purpose. There are no coincidences. There are synchronicities, yes, okay, but you were supposed to do this, see, because your father, it's almost like he has a message. He had a message for the world. He wants to help people to know that it's real. There is another, I'm out of my body, but I'm here. That's like when I talk to God and Jesus. I mean, you know, my son will laugh. He says, Mother, you really do that? I said, yeah, I really do that. Sometimes it's like a dissertation. You know, I'm upset about something. Now, you know, that was really dumb. You know, why did you do that? Oh, I do that. And, you know, and I laugh and I'll say, I know, here she is with her good news or bad news. And I said, look, you know, I believe in you with everything I have. I'm a little Catholic girl. But I didn't get it from the Catholic Church. It was in me. It was instilled in me. And it's just the way that I am. And my son says, well, what do you think you're thinking when you say this? I said, I don't really care. I'm giving them my peace of mind. I'm telling them information that they did. There was a blunder. If that was the biggest blunder I'd ever seen in my life. Can you imagine that? And so he says, oh, yes, he said, probably when you start to talk, he's thinking, oh, God, here she goes. She's either going to be ticked off at me or happy for with something and be very, very grateful. Yesterday, of course, I was very, very grateful and let them know. Now, I'm going to tell you something, that I saw Jesus. Well, actually, Jesus came in my dream. I was in a vehicle, and this was at a tough time in my life because my husband had Alzheimer's. And the mean kind. I mean, he was not very nice to be around, and I kept him home. But anyways, the dream was, and it was so real, that I saw this man with no shoes on and a robe. And I'm looking, thinking, like a has-been. He was a hobo, whatever he was, you know. And he looked at me, and it was like he was reading my mind. We never spoke words to each other, but we did speak. And he motioned with his head to look behind me. I was like leaning out the window, right? And I looked, and Mike, here comes all the 12 apostles.
Oh, wow.
And he looked at and I looked back at him, and he said, in my mind, now do you believe me? And when I was with my husband, and I tell this story because this is the truth, and you're going to believe this because of what's happened to you, I locked the door, and I was just sobbing on the floor. I was just, because I was beside myself. My son worked, my daughter-in-law, everybody was working in the neighborhood. There was nobody to help me. And we chose to keep him home. And so I knew it was my job, but I still, it was awful. And I was sitting there, and I looked down at the floor, and I saw bare feet. And right above the bare feet was a robe, a white robe. And it was like it did something to me. It took all the anguish away and made me realize it's okay. It's going to be fine. I got up.
Wow.
I looked in the mirror, wiped my face. Out the door I went, and it never happened to me again. I never felt that way again. And, you know, and I think I had a visitation when I was dying one time, but I won't go into that. Maybe sometime if we talk again. But anyways, I believe you with all my heart because I know. And there are skeptics out there that'll say, oh, he's just making up a story to sell this book and all that. No, you're not. You're not.
Right. No.
And I know you're not. This is real stuff. This is real stuff.
It is real.
But there is a condition with it. You have to believe with everything that you have. I mean, you can go in and question it, but once it's been shown to you, like you, don't ever question it again. You have to believe. You just have to believe. And if the world would be like the you and I's, and there's a lot of us, it would be a lot better, Mike.
Yeah.
It would be a lot better.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
I think there are too many skeptics, but I also think, and I've said this for weeks, probably since last year, all my shows, that I feel that COVID was a comeuppance. I feel that the world was money, 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 money. And, you know, talking to God, God says, okay, well, I'm going to fix this. And he can turn anything over like turning over a dime.
Yeah.
And I think this was all about changing the attitude of the world and make people love each other and do for each other and not ask for a dime. Don't say, I'll do it for you, but you got to pay me.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
I'm sure you do. I don't know how many people that this is going to, it's affecting a lot, you know. And you have to trust. If you don't believe and you don't trust, you're going to be lost. And you're going to be in the dust. And Mike and I and all the others are going to be far ahead of you. And you'll never catch up. And you're young. And you'll be around longer than me. And you always remember, don't ever change who you are. Don't ever. Really, I have goosebumps again with you. You're so wholesome.
Aww.
So tell us more about your book here now. I could talk to you forever, of course. But tell me, you wrote the book. And somebody wanted to take it. I mean, how did you get in connection with Dee? Dee is the publicist, by the way. I keep mentioning her name. She's out in California.
Yes. Yeah, Dee, the most amazing, lovely publicist on the planet.
She's a director and a producer also. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she does. She's just amazing. What happened is that while I was making the documentary, right, where I was filming Angelina doing these readings, I then started to investigate other lines of evidence that life goes on after death, such as near-death experiences, little kids who have memories from previous lives and things of that nature, all kinds of things. And one of the people who I got involved in my documentary is a woman named Leslie Kane. She's a New York Times journalist, and she's also an author. And she had written a book called Surviving Death, which is a fantastic overview of the scientific evidence that's out there suggesting that we are much more than our bodies. So she's in the documentary, and while we were filming, Netflix decided to make a six-part documentary series
which
based
I have
on
not
Leslie's
seen, and please
book.
Forgive me because I will. As soon as we're done, I'm going to go find it.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's there and available now.
It's called Surviving Death, right?
Surviving Death, that's right. Yeah, yeah. When Netflix decided to do that, Leslie took my story to Netflix, and that's how I got involved my family and I are involved in three of the six episodes, and it tells part of our story about, you know, with my dad. So because there was going to be the Netflix series, they thought I had better write a book because our story, it's just the surface of the story that's touched on. There's so much more to it. So to fill in all of those blanks, some people on the film team suggested I write a book so that would be available for people.
Mm-hmm.
And really the main reason that I wrote the book is because I ended up having experiences, my family and I all, that were so profound and so changed our lives and brought us so much comfort and lightened up our lives. And they were so amazing, these things that happened, that it really felt like these do not belong to us, right? These are not just for me. These should be available for anyone who wants to hear about it. So like you said before, my dad was on a mission to know that this is real. And I completely agree with you. Now I see that completely.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why the book is for. The book is for my dad. Because he went through all of this amazing effort to do, and I've only touched the surface of the things that he ended up doing. It's absolutely extraordinary. It turned my entire world and sense of reality completely upside down in the most wonderful way. So that's why the book came to be. It's because this information should be available for those who seek it. Not everyone wants to seek it for whatever reason. But you don't have to be trapped in sorrow. You know, there is amazing evidence out there that there's a lot more going on than meets the eye, and there is comfort to be found if you're willing to seek it
and be open to it.
Yes.
And don't
yep.
say, oh no, that's not real. Well, you know, I'm a clairaudient. But I can't say, okay, I'm going to get something for you, Mike. I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens for me is just before I wake up, sometimes I'll hear my phone ring once, but it's not my phone.
Mm.
Sometimes I'll hear a knock at the door, but it's nobody's at my door.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah. So, but I had a co-host. I think it's her. I had a co-host that I did a lot of shows with. We did topics, you know, angelic, you know, angels and archangels and all of this. We did weeks and weeks and weeks of it. Well, she died suddenly, but she became like a sister to me. I mean, we talked to each other every day, or we text, and she worked on my site. Well, I was just thrown right off the couch when I found out that she had passed because, you know, it was funny because my cell phone rang, and it was her name, and I thought I was saying to her, you know you're supposed to call me on my home phone. What are you calling me on this phone for?
Wow.
But
wow.
It was her family contacting me because I was the last one that she had communication with.
Mm.
I fell right off my couch. I could not believe that she was taken from me. She was a medium, and she would always, you'll appreciate this. I'd ask her a question, well, what do you think about this? What do you think I should do about this? She said, let me convene with my guides, and I'll let you know. Convene. And we laughed. She said, I know you love that word. I said, oh, my gosh, do I ever convene? I'm going to convene. Okay, convene. But I think it's her letting me know she is with me. When I hear my phone, I mean, I've tested it. I have callback on my phone. You know, when one of them, like one time I got up and I said, okay, I'm going to test this out. Is this my phone ringing? No, the last call was my son, and that was the night before. It wasn't my son calling. That was the last number that came up. So I know it's real.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
The other unreal thing is that about maybe 2 weeks before she passed, I said to her, you know, I heard a harp playing. She said, what do you mean a harp? I said, like somebody sitting at the harp and strumming it one time, just that sound.
Hmm.
I said, what do you think it means? She said, well, it came to you. What do you think it means? I said, an angelic presence, something angelic. I know for sure.
Hmm.
Well, it was her. It was about her, Mike.
Yeah.
I didn't put it. It was her. They were coming for her. That was
mm-hmm.
my little message.
Wow.
And I'm
wow.
certain of it. And I could not do the show for 3 months because I was so devastated. I just had too many. It would be me alone, and I, you know, and then one of the guys that I knew, you know, we talked on Messenger and everything, and he said, you need to get back on the radio. Everybody loves your voice and the
mm-hmm.
way you talk and your energy and everything. He says, you need to do this. He said, I'll interview
mm-hmm.
you the first time back. So that's what he did. And then he brought me, I don't know, weeks and weeks of guests so that I could get my feet wet. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
there hasn't been a moment when I didn't want to do it anymore. Because
mm-hmm.
I really think she wanted me to continue, but she knew I needed a little break to gather my thoughts and
right.
all of that. I mean, to this day, I still talk to her. It's been 3 years, over 3 years now. And
mm-hmm.
I know these are little signals from her letting me know. And sometimes if I'm in my kitchen, I have a high ceiling, my lights will blink in there only when I'm in the kitchen and only
mm-hmm.
at night. And I'll look up and I'll say, okay, it's got to be one of the three. One of the three of you. Okay, hello. Okay, it's you. But you know what I would really like is you to come and say something to me because she knew I could hear. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think sometimes, too, and probably your medium friend could tell me, sometimes they can't do certain things right away. It takes time, either because of the level that they are on. I mean, somebody said, well, they go on 7 levels. I don't know if that's true. And she
mm-hmm.
may not be high enough in the realm. I don't know. But you can bet, pardon my friend, she's going to do her damnedest to connect with
mm-hmm.
me because she knows I'm waiting. And
I have no doubt.
Yeah, you know, and one of my readers, she said to me, why is she earthbound? And she said, oh, how stupid of me to ask. I said, why? She's earthbound because she wants to be with you.
Yeah.
That's why she's still earthbound. I mean, we
yeah.
were that close.
Yeah.
You know, and Mike,
yeah.
only because we're bringing up those who have passed, she
mm-hmm.
she told her husband, who told me, because I ended up talking to him, of course, he
mm-hmm.
said to me, she loved you more than me and her sons and anybody else on earth.
Mm.
And I believe that she did. She did.
Yeah, you had a deep soul connection there.
We did, we
like.
Did. And
yeah.
So, you know, when I'm talking about her pictures in front of me, and she,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'm just hoping one day maybe I'll hear her voice, you know, or
yep.
she'll do something else. I'm not expecting for bells and whistles, although that would be nice.
Yeah.
Ringing the bells and blowing
yes.
the whistles. You know, but I really think one day she's going to do something to show me you're right. Or maybe I'll
yeah.
talk to somebody like your friend, and they'll say, without
yes.
me saying
yeah.
anything to them, this lady will contact you. She is with you all the time. I know she is. I just know it.
I have zero doubt about that. Zero doubt. And, you know, yeah, the mechanisms of how all of this stuff works and why some signs might be easier to get through than other signs or how many levels there might be that they need to get through, all of that stuff, obviously, you know, I don't understand the mechanisms of. All I can say without doubt is that we our consciousness goes on beyond the death of the body, and I just have no doubt that your friend is with you. And I also want to say, that I have zero doubt that she also wants you to be on this radio station. There is something about you. I mean, this is the first time that you and I have spoken, but you have this energy about you that it almost doesn't matter what your words are. There is just an energy about you and your voice in general that is lovely and uplifting, and you're helping people. You're absolutely helping people.
I am.
I'm so glad.
A client that's gone on my site, and she said, well, why don't you do readings? She said, I haven't talked to you, but she said, do you know what your emails are like? They're so powerful. It's like this powerful energy coming through an email. You know, it's just, I told her
mm-hmm.
to listen. She might be listening today. The thing of it is that I love what I do. And when you love what you do, mm-hmm. hopefully you know, it's been an easy road for me doing this. I don't say, oh God, I got to do another radio show. No, I love it.
Right.
I was looking forward to it so much because I knew it would be great. I just knew. And thank you for the compliment.
Wow.
And it's, I mean, people love my voice. They just, it's energetic. You know, somebody said to me, where do you get all this energy? I don't know. It's because you light something around me. I think it starts to brighten. It gets brighter and brighter
yes.
and brighter, and it's so much energy. And this is how I am. You know, I mean, this
yeah.
is how I am. So, and I was really shy when I was young, Mike.
Me too.
You can
oh my God,
that. I was so
painfully
shy.
Yeah, so shy.
I was so shy. I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. I just watched. I absorbed. Everybody says to me, now, that has been on the show, Manny, you absorbed. And yes, I'm doing things for the
mm-hmm.
world because I want them to know about people like you. Because if
no.
they don't know, how are they going to ever know? I mean, they have to
right.
be exposed to all of this. And,
yeah.
you know, when we're done with the show, I'll put it out on Twitter, and then I'll go and put it. It'll go to Facebook. It goes everywhere. Well, you probably will see on Facebook that you've been promoted there by Candy. Candy's not in the chat room right now, but she works at night. She's one of those night
mm-hmm.
owls. So she's probably
mm-hmm.
sleeping. But anyways, she says, I wish I could be on the show. I said, Candy. And she laughed. She says, you don't really need me, do you? And I said, no. but I love it. And, are you writing another book? What's going on? Are you
– I
you
actually
have to
just
do something
started
–
yeah, I just started kicking around the idea for another book possibly. So that's just a little baby seed of an idea.
Okay. I'm so glad.
Yep.
Listen, my gal who does the – writes up the show page, she said to me, near the end of the broadcast, ask Mike what drink would Natalie be since he's in charge of a bar and had bartended. What drink?
You would be something like a Cape Cod, something light and refreshing. That's the energy. Something bubbly, maybe a little champagne even you could be because you have this bubbliness about you and you make people feel better. You just make people feel better. So you'd be, maybe champagne. Maybe champagne is what you are.
Okay. I'll tell her because she's going to ask.
She sent me a
special email about it. Interview, extra questions. She's the one that wrote the review. And we have time, if you have time. I want to tell you about this one. She really did a beautiful job. It says here, Mike has lost his father, Robert, to a heart attack. Mike and his family are mourning him, not feeling very good about what has happened. He and his family take a chance to try to reconnect with his father using a medium. The story then follows Mike and his family attempting to figure out if there is anything beyond this life. And then there's a few other things she says. If you're looking for a book to read that will confirm the existence of spirit, then go no further. Mike has not just accepted a single reading to confirm this from a medium, but has done everything he can to substantiate the validity of such a reading by interviewing a number of people researching psychic phenomena. The book ends with a final experience that leaves no doubt. I have the book.
Yeah.
You know, Dee sends me everything. I mean, if I have somebody coming on, and I get it in 2 days. I mean, she's just like right on it. That's it.
Yes.
she says to me, I highly recommend this to anyone who has lost a loved one. Mike Anthony has done his research and has contacted his dad, or his dad contacted him. You can feel the love in the pages of this book. You never forget a moment that Mike is human, even in the midst of research. How pretty.
Mm. That's beautiful. Thank her so much for that. That's really lovely. Yeah,
I will, because she's going to ask me, what drink? Did you remember to ask him what drink you are? So, okay, I'll ask. Yeah, your champagne is kind of bubbly, and then the bubbles kind of, I'm not a champagne drinker, but kind of, you know, I mean, I guess that would be something. That's pretty good.
It's also, champagne is a celebratory drink that's usually drunken during times of celebration. And you're absolutely someone to be celebrating, Natalie. So
thank
you for what you're doing, because there's a whole side of life that a lot of people, especially in America and the Western world in general, are just really disconnected from.
I know.
And yet the reality of it, the reality of that part of life changes everything and makes all of life better. So you are part of that side of
Thank
life
you.
That we're so desperately lacking right now.
Thank you. I love that. I try. I try with all my heart. And, you know, I do something now. I'm doing them two times a week because, you know, I have like six publicists who want me to have their author on. It's complimentary. I'm booked until October, but I decided that I would start doing two a week, and I was supposed to do you before, but my gal who does all the promotion was ill. She had something happen in her family also, and I said to Dee, I don't want to do this to him. He's just, what he has to say is too important, so let's put it off, and of course she appreciated it. So see how things work out the way they're supposed to.
Yes, they do.
I'm telling you. And you're wonderful. And I will send I'll send you the link to the review so that you can have it. And now your medium, does she just take appointments? How does that work? I would like to contact her.
She does, yeah. Again, her name is Angelina Diana. And as the reviewer mentioned, you know, I saw a number of mediums. I did not stop at one. I went through ton of research, so all of their names are in the book, but Angelina was that first one that said, you know, your dad wants to talk about your hair, and she does, I believe she does readings by Skype and Zoom and all of that stuff, so it doesn't matter where someone lives, they can still contact her.
Oh, everything. You can talk to anybody all over the world, can't you?
You sure can. Amazing. Just amazing, yes.
I know. Well, you know, technology is good, and sometimes it's not so good because it opens up other avenues for people to scam and all of that.
That's true.
I mean, I get it even on my site. I really do. They'll try to open up extra accounts to get free minutes, but we have it on the site now where I get their IP address. I don't care how many times you go to another building, I'm going to have it. And they think they can trick you. They think they can, but you can't trick me. I'm too smart. No. And, you know, the thing of it is, this is a business. This is just not some revolving door that you walk in and out of free. You know, I mean, I have people that are looking to make an income of some kind, and it's not all about free, although you get free the first time. But that's what they do.
Right.
What are you going to do, you know?
Yeah.
Anyways, I love talking to you, and I'm going to send Dee a note about you. You're wonderful.
It's been such a pleasure to be with you. I'm honored, and just thank you so much.
And thank you. You have an awesome day. And now, are you still bartending? You're still in? Do you go to New York or what? Where are you at now? What are you doing now?
Yeah, we've been closed down since COVID, but we're scheduled to go back in September 14th. I'll be back.
So what are you doing
in
the meantime? I mean, you have to make a living. You have a family, right?
I do. Well, I've been working on the books, and now I'm doing audiobook versions of both books, as well as doing some other stuff that I'll hopefully be posting about in the future. So luckily, I've been able to keep myself extremely busy over this year and a half.
Yeah, I'm going to have Dee send you my email address so that you can keep me posted on new things so I can make sure that it goes into the magazine. I mean, I'd love to keep promoting
you
because that's what I'm about and many others that come and look at this, and they appreciate all of this information. I think it's so wonderful. But you're so wonderful. What can I tell you?
Oh, thank you so much, Natalie. Thank you so
much. You have a great day now, okay?
And, you as well.
Yes. Oh, yes, I will. I'm going to go back to my bookkeeping. I do that too.
Wow, you are a busy woman. And continued health to your son as well.
Thank you so much for that.
Sending positive vibes to him. You bet.
Yes, thank you.
All right.
Okay, and we'll talk again soon, okay?
Sounds great. Thank you, Natalie.
Okay, lots of love to you. Okay, bye-bye.
Same to you. Bye-bye.
Okay, everybody, next interview or next talk, I think will be Wednesday, but if not, it will be Friday. I have not gotten my information from the person yet. You know, I need a confirmation before we do a show page, but Nonetheless, you know I'll be on Friday, and I'll let you know. Go to the site, go to Stars with a Z, Psychics.com, and it will show when the next talk is coming up. I like to say that they're talks now. They're not really Q&As like an interview. But anyways, everybody have a really good day. Be safe. And the numbers are changing now for this virus, and we have this variant, so you must be careful out there, please. Please be careful. And with that, I'm going to end the show like I always do, and that is to believe in things you cannot see. They really are there. And with that, I'll say bye. Love to all of you.